I kept it at that. I understood the stories. I had some of them memorized. I could recite all of the right words, but it never really got down to my heart, is what I came to realize. And so just, you know, unless it's in your heart, it's not a relationship, right? It's just in your head. So. Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And this is an episode here where we're going to talk about, actually from here on out, we're going to be talking to a lot of different people who are going through a phase that we call, and you've probably heard us if you're listening to this podcast before, a phase we call stirring. Hey, and in that stirring kind of deal, what happens is that people start thinking and realizing something's not quite right here in the realm of our modern 21st century American Christianity. And because it seems like all we really need to do to be with God is just simply go to church.
Right.
And when that starts kind of going a little sideways, that's when people typically slip into the stirring phase and they start asking questions. So today we have our very first stirring interview with someone that's not the three of us.
Nope. Finally.
Which, thank God. but we got a guy that's known world round mainly for one main thing.
Yeah, he is
the producer of the Rheology Podcast. So we got Brandon Wiseman here with us today via satellite. Thank God SpaceX got those satellites up in orbit just in time. So Brandon, welcome. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
glad to be
Brandon,
here. First guest.
You're the first guest. So you are hooked in live via satellite from metropolis of Greenfield, Indiana.
Yeah.
And been there, done that. And nice. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll start off by allowing Brandon to kind of talk about, we kind of want to, in this, we're going to get to like your stirring moment, but we kind of like want to like build up to that and get like the, you know, the background, the context of like, you know, who you are as far as like Christianity goes. So maybe you could like talk a little bit about, you know, your the beginnings of like, you know, growing up and being introduced to God and going to church and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, always have gone to church. Thankful to my parents for kind of raising me in the church, and started going from before I can even remember. Went to Fortville Christian Church, and grew up in that environment. Grew up going every Sunday. Got involved in the youth group early on in my life, middle school and into high school. And then that's about the time that Scott Johnson showed up in Fortville. And was pretty involved back then.
At a level at that point.
Yeah, kicked it up a notch, as Emerald would say. So
don't compare me to Emerald. Yeah. Got that recorded.
But yeah, just grew up in it and continued going to church for the rest of my life. I mean, there were periods here and there, particularly in college and then ultimately when I went to law school, that I would say, you know, 6 months here, a year there, where I wouldn't go as regularly as I did early on. And that's how it went all the way up until now, which is, I don't know if we're revealing ages here, but I'm 38 at this point, and so that's how it has been
for
yeah.
When's your birthday?
Birthday's in October, so I'll be 39 in October.
congrats.
Yeah. But, you know.
Fave already.
Yeah, exactly. And what's that say for you? I don't know. But
3 feet in the grave. At least I'm not 6 feet.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close, though. But anyway, pretty uneventful in terms of my spiritual journey, which is what I've come to realize recently, and this is kind of getting into my stirring moment, which has happened relatively recently for me. I would say it probably really started early this year, so literally on January 1st of 2024. The only way I can explain it is that's when God really got a hold of me and started to reveal to me that this relationship that I had with him, so-called relationship in quotes, up until this point has not really been a relationship at all. It's been pretty surface level in my entire life. And I didn't even realize that. I mean, I was just going along thinking, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was going to church on Sundays. I was occasionally reading the Bible, occasionally praying when I needed something. And that's what I was doing. And then January of 2024, something hit me like a ton of bricks, and God started putting things in front of me, mainly in the form of like Christian content on YouTube and in podcasts and even in my relationships with family and friends, that started really stirring in me and making me realize that how surface level my faith was to that point. And so started on this journey that's been 8 months strong now at this point, of really digging deeper and realizing what I've been missing for the last 38 years. So that's kind of what set it in motion. Have, you know, since that time, since January, have really started digging into the Bible in a way that I've never done before, reading consistently, which I always knew was something that I should have been doing anyway, but it always felt like a chore up until this point, something that I knew I should have been doing and that I wasn't doing and that I needed to schedule myself to do. And now, you know, again, 8 months in, it's like now I'm reading every day, and it doesn't even feel like a chore anymore. It's like now when I have to miss a day for whatever reason, work or whatever, it feels like it's something that's missing. It's like, man, I really wish I would have done that, because it's just a different level. Hard to explain, really, but that's kind of been my journey over the last several years and more recently. So
pretty much from birth, you guys went, your whole family went to church as long as you can remember.
Yeah, as long as I can remember.
Were most people in your life also like that? Like raised in the church and Christian friends and...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, my family, my entire family, extended family, everybody I knew around me, you know, we were a pretty tight knit family. So grew up, living close by to my extended family, and everybody I knew pretty much went to church. And, you know, with that said, we didn't talk about it all that much outside of that context. It's not like something that, we would spend time during the weekdays talking about or at dinner or anything like that. We kind of left it to Sundays to gain that knowledge. But yeah, that's pretty much how it was. But when you came to Fortville, I mean, I think that was the first time in my life that a light bulb went on and started probably the stirring process at that point. You taught the Bible in a way. I think the first time I met you, you had come to like teach a conference or something at Fortville. Mm-hmm. It was just like a short term deal. You weren't the youth minister there yet. Weekend retreat, and I attended that retreat, and you taught the Bible in a way that I had never really heard up until that point. I was probably in middle school, maybe eighth grade or something like that when you did that. And that started to open my eyes to, hey, there's something deeper here that I need to pay attention to. And then shortly after that retreat, you came on full time as the youth minister there. And that's what really got me more involved in youth group. And pretty early on, I think you had me involved in kind of like a leadership role through that and helping design the Sunday services and playing in the worship band and stuff like that. Those are things that I probably would have never done had it just continued on the path of where it was going before you came in. So I'm always, mm-hmm. you know, I've been grateful to you for many years for that. But even still, it wasn't to the level that it has become more recently for me, for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason age. Is. Age, maturity, hopefully.
I mean, you know, your brain's still forming, right? At 17, 18, 19 years old. So, you know, it's something that we talk about a lot, you know, here, the three of us, because these guys are involved in college ministry. And for me, you know, in my years of career wise with youth ministry, was like one of my biggest fears was always like, I'm going to do what I feel like needs to be done to make disciples out of these teenagers. But I've only got them for a certain amount of time, and they're going to graduate and they're going to move on. And then they're going to hopefully it'd be wonderful if they went to like someone like these guys. But then again, these guys only have the students that they have for a certain amount of time. And sometimes they get lucky and have to have them for 4, maybe 5 years or 6 years, the grad school or something like that. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's it's a month. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you meet someone towards the end of their senior year. And I feel like getting those, to me, I always look at it like seeds. All I wanted to really do is plant seeds in you. That's really all I wanted to do. I didn't feel like get them to grow, even though they did grow. I mean, because you definitely were, you know, you were involved in ministry when you were at Fortville with me and the other students there. But and it's like, we probably need to emphasize a little bit more the idea of you going off to school and like not seeing that lived out. I mean,
you know, that happened. I mean, you know, I think you packed up and went down south. I think maybe my senior year of high school. I can't remember exactly. And then I was, you know, going on to Butler.
Way to go. Packed up and moved.
yeah, thanks. Left me hanging. So you're to blame for this, partially.
I could go. I'm trust me.
So anyway, I think that's right. I went off to college, went to Butler, started there, ended up at Butler, obviously not a Christian university by any stretch of the imagination. In any event, I ended up leaving Butler after the first semester, and I transferred to Anderson University, which is a Christian university in Anderson, Indiana. I had more friends that were at Anderson, and so it made a lot of sense for me to do that. And plus, my ultimate goal was to go to law school after school anyway, so it didn't really matter what I was studying in undergraduate, I came to find out. And so I transferred to Anderson, and that helped a little bit in terms of, you know, my college experience. But yeah, that was all that's to say is during that entire time of my life, I had kind of lost touch with, religion, aside from going to those meetings at Butler. And then at Anderson, it was a little bit easier. We would have chapel every week and stuff like that. But at that point, I wasn't very tuned into that stuff. I was just going because they told me I had to go, which is, I'd have to believe that it's the vast majority of students are living their life that way at colleges like that anyway. So that was it. I kind of lost touch with it at that point. And then certainly going into law school after college was the same way. Occasionally going to church here or there, but again, very surface level.
So you said you were like hesitant to describe your relationship with God as a relationship, right? Up until like 8 months ago. So how would you describe, looking back now, how would you describe your like spiritual, I don't know. I don't want to say really, like how was
What was Christianity?
Yeah, what was Christianity like for you then? Now that you feel like it's more of a relationship, what was it? How would you describe it back then?
Yeah, for my entire life up until recently, I would probably describe it as more of a title than anything else. Something that was in my head. I could recite all of the stories that I learned growing up and, you know, probably not in that great of detail, but I could at least tell you the general flow of the Bible. Yeah. And I understood, academically what it meant for Jesus to come and die for our sins. That was it. I had it in my head and that kind of describes me as a person anyway. I'm a very analytical person, which is helps me in my career as a lawyer. But not so much on the religion front, it turns out. I kept it at that. I understood the stories. I had some of them memorized. I could recite all of the right words, but it never really got down to my heart, is what I came to realize. And so just, you know, unless it's in your heart, it's not a relationship, right? It's just in your head. So that's how I would describe it.
Did you ever feel this is interesting because you would describe it as a title, but did you ever feel like a bad Christian? Like, did you ever feel like I depends on who else is I'm around?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? Like, it's like, if I say I'm a Christian, it's almost like there's like this level of,
yeah. I don't think I ever considered myself a bad Christian. It's only looking back at it now where I'm at. It's like, man, I wasn't doing anything that God expected of me, or I wasn't taking the right lessons from the Bible or from any of the lessons that I learned in at church or wherever I happened to be. It's only looking back now that I can realize that, man, I just wasn't doing things the right way while I was in it. At the time I realized, you know, I should probably be reading the Bible some more than I am. But I never thought of myself as doing things the wrong way or having the wrong approach to all of this. It was just more, hey, this is kind of what I see around me. I think relatively speaking, relative to others I see that call themselves Christians, I'm probably doing pretty good. And it's only more recently that I've realized that that's not only the wrong mindset, but also the completely wrong approach to it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like your expectations were low, so therefore you met them every time.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Actually, yeah. You exceeded everybody else because their expectations were even lower.
And you were never bad because you were never like doing the like hookups or the alcohol or drunkenness, right? So like you were like, as long as I'm on the straight and narrow, right, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm.
I got stuck in this mindset that what it meant to be a good Christian was just equivalent with being a good person overall. Yeah. And as long as I was not doing these hedonistic things, as long as I was not giving in to those, then relatively speaking, I was a good Christian. It's only been recently, within the last 8 months, that I've realized that God calls us to something much bigger than that. And I've started to learn all about, you know, what it means to give your life as a living sacrifice. And I'm still working through the process of trying to understand what that really means, but I'm at least to the point now where I realize that that means something more than what I thought back then for the rest of my life. And so I'm trying to chip away at it and starting to dig into that and really internalize what that means. And then starting to figure out how I can then internalize that and then live it out. I'm grateful that I'm to a point now where I can see that I just had a completely distorted view of those types of things.
How has your view of church influenced the past 8 months?
Yeah, and it has changed even within the last few months, having talked with you guys. And I knew, again, I've gone to church my entire life, and I haven't had bad experiences with church, I wouldn't say, but it's been more of a thing where I've just gone and sat there and listened, and things have gone in one ear and out the other. And, you know, I've always heard folks over the years talk about, hey, church isn't necessarily the building, it's the people in the building. But I don't know that I've ever really given that a second thought. I mean, it made sense to me, again, academically, but, you know, in talking with you guys and starting to dig into the Bible even more, and particularly right now, for example, I'm studying Acts and what the early church looked like. And I'm starting to realize that what we do in terms of church, modern day church, at least, you know, Protestant faith, which is kind of how I grew up, it doesn't look anything like what I'm seeing in Acts, for example. And so it has started to make me question whether we are doing things correctly or not. And does it matter whether we are doing things correctly or not, as long as we are individually living out what God has asked us to do? I don't know. It's started to raise all of those questions for sure.
There's so much you said that I want to unpack, but maybe this is not.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay. So
we can talk later.
Like January, right? So you were just living this like religious life, religious title. But like Jesus is, or the Christianity is just what I am. And I'm supposed to like, do the check the boxes, right? I go to church, I read the Bible, I'm supposed to do these things. And as long as I am within the moral code of Christianity, I'm a good Christian, basically, right? Yep. In January, I'm curious, what was it just like, oh, this stuff doesn't seem, I don't know, like
something's off?
Yeah, something's off, or what?
I came, so here's how it happened exactly. So yeah. Scrolling YouTube like I normally do, because, YouTube is a thing I do for my job now. It's one part of what I do is develop videos, training videos for the companies I work with. But so I'm always on YouTube anyway, but I was scrolling YouTube, around New Year, and, up on my feed pops a Bible Project video. And it's not, you know, the Bible Project does a lot of different things. They do the animated videos that our church shows, for example, in kids services and stuff like that. But the video that came across my feed was, I think what they call a classroom session, where Tim Mackey, who's kind of the Bible Project lead or the founder, he's teaching a class, and
the nerdy one. Keep going.
Yeah, the nerdy one. Yeah. So he was teaching a class on Genesis, in fact, and this caught my attention for whatever reason. And it was, you know, like a 2-hour long video all about Genesis. And it was about like the first 6 chapters of Genesis up until the flood. And I started watching that, and he started talking about these concepts that I've already kind of talked about here, particularly with Adam and Eve and going on to the flood story, and talking about these things in patterns that now, looking back at it, I clearly see these patterns. I don't know how I missed them over the years, and or how, you know, if they were taught to me, it completely went in one ear and out the other, but more than likely they probably weren't ever talked to me. These cyclical patterns you see in Genesis specifically. But what I learned from that course was that, you know, there are ways to read the Bible that are not the ways that I have been doing all my life or that have been taught to me. And it got me intrigued. It's like, what? Well, if I was missing that much in the first 6 chapters of the Bible, what else have I completely missed over the first 38 years of my life going to church? And so, you know, that was my first introduction to the Bible Project. So then I realized that they have this whole universe of content available. So then I just started digging into everything that they had, and I was taking all of their courses on Genesis, and then they've got all kinds of other courses, and I realized they had a podcast. So I started listening to their podcast, and then that kind of, you know, went out. I found other creators on YouTube and doing the podcast thing that were speaking the same language as the Bible Project. They were, you know, intellectuals who were communicating these truths in a way that I had never heard before. And so that got me really interested. And the more I started digging, the more interested I got. And that kind of set me in motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think we're talking about like this, not a perfect equation, but like, if you are stirring, these are the things that are going on. Yeah. Like there's been this, some kind of like repression or suppression of a space to ask real questions, mm-hmm. right? And if you're not able to ask real questions, then the information is a substitute for actual relationship with God. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people who grow up in traditional church go through this kind of thing, where if you're not able to ask questions, like, yeah, exactly what I just said, information is the most important thing, not actual relationship and living life with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the other thing I'm cognizant of is I'm prone to make mistakes in how I interpret things. And so what I've come to realize is the importance of leaning on other sources, essentially, you know, throwing out my ideas, getting others' takes on it. It's been particularly helpful in the context of my small group, for example, which is why I'm starting to realize the importance of the small groups now in a way that I've never really understood them before, as like a sounding board to be able to express these new ways of my thinking, ask questions, get thoughts from others about how they are interpreting these things, as a way to check myself, because I get into the habit of reading things, interpreting things, and then thinking that my way of interpreting them is correct. And I've come to realize that that's obviously not always true. And so it's made it even that more important for me to seek out other sources of information and make sure I'm not, you know, blinded by confirmation bias and that type of stuff.
Has your like stirring?
We all have questions.
Yeah, sorry. Anyone else want to ask?
Okay. No, go ahead.
In your small group, has your like stirring spirit been caught by other people, or have people been pushing back to like your line of questioning? How other people have been responding to your new season of like relationship with God?
I worry that it's made me the annoying one in the small group, because in the past I would always just sit in those things, and occasionally, you know, they would say, who wants to read this, you know, this verse? And I would begrudgingly read the verse, and that was the extent of my analysis of it. Nowadays, it's like, I feel like at some points I'm the only one talking. It's like, I'm just trying to get out things that are going through my head, the questions that I've written down from reading the Bible throughout the week. And, I think that's the risk is, at this point, is me overtaking these small group meetings with all of my questions, but, everybody's been great. I mean, I think that's right. I think, and it's also good that we've got some like ministers in our small group, those that have actually studied this type of stuff, and those that actually I've come to find out have the same mindset as me, with a lot of these things. And so it's been really helpful, and, everybody's been great.
That's good.
Tyler.
What are your conversations with God like? Is there a difference between now and, I don't know, last year?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something, frankly, that I'm still working on, is learning how to pray. It sounds crazy because we've all grown up knowing the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus taught us to pray. But I think, like a lot of other Christians find themselves in the habit of doing, for so many years, I was in the habit of just praying for what I wanted, treating God like a genie and asking him to grant my wishes. And I always knew that that's not how it was meant to be. I always knew that's another thing that I had in my head. I knew academically that that's not how I was supposed to be approaching my prayer life. But only within these last months have I started to take action on knowing that, starting to change the way that I pray, and starting to try and seek out, in the Bible and with talking with others, how it is, what are the things I should be praying for, and how should I be approaching this relationship if it's going to be a relationship, because clearly it wasn't beforehand. So that's the point I'm at now. I still don't have it down great by any stretch of the imagination. I still find myself slipping into asking for things I want rather than asking for, number one, thanking God for everything I have in my life and getting me to this place of even being able to ask the right questions and that type of stuff. But then beyond that, asking God to let his will be done. It's only recently that I've really started to understand what Jesus meant by that. And so starting to transform the way that I pray and make it more in line with how Jesus was praying. So,
Yeah.
There is like, man, the way you describe growing up, this is the Lord's Prayer, I sense this, like, but I wanted it to be more, right? Mm-hmm. Like, more than just the script that I'm given to approach God to get what I want.
If right? it is a relationship, yes. then why are we just reading stuff?
Let me feel like I'm in a relationship versus mm-hmm. like just doing the thing. It turns into like, right, and that's why reading the Bible turned into this like the historical like textbook mm-hmm. that I'm supposed to read and get more. And to your point, Tyler, I'm supposed to get more information. The more information I have, like the closer I am to God, but you're not framing it as like, I want it to be something different. It's just, it just feels off until you have the confidence, I guess, mm-hmm. in like, oh, I think I'm okay to go outside my box a little bit and to receive different information. Like, my whole world isn't going to crumble because I really believe this is going to be accusing.
Oh, boy.
Well, a lot of churches.
Brace yourself.
Yeah, a lot of churches are telling you, if you go outside of this box, dude, you are like deconstructing. You're a bad Christian. Uh-huh. It's a slippery slope. The devil's going to put all these things. And you're also told, okay, I want my life to be so comfortable. I want my life to be good. I want to be, and the way to do that is to be a good Christian. Because that's also, they're not like specifically saying that, but that's what you're receiving, right? Uh-huh. So as long as
those are the parameters of the whole thing,
as long as I'm a good Christian,
it only works. I'm not questioning. It only works inside these parameters here.
Mm-hmm. I can continue. I have a good life, right? I'm somewhat good, but the whole time you're like, there has to be something more. This cannot be it. And I think too many people don't know. They can't admit to themselves. It's like, this can't be it, right? Because they're saying, this whole Christianity thing I'm supposed to be sold out to is lacking.
Yeah.
Right? It's not inspirational. It's not something that I want to give my life to, but I'm told I'm supposed to do it. Otherwise my life will go sideways, I guess, like the other stories that I've been told before. So finally I want to do something. And it is right. And the beautiful thing is you get to now experience slowly. And I think it's my own personal life, man, the way you say it, like I personally don't believe, sure, I think there is a wrong way to pray. Right. But I don't think there's one right way to pray. I think that's a beautiful thing that we're realizing, the freedom that comes in with this relationship built on grace and partnership with God. Right. Like I still to this day, I'm like unraveling religiosity. I'm like still praying within religious parameters. I'm still like thinking about God. I'm thinking I have to read the Bible. I have to have this like quiet time with God in order for him to like or get something, or like feel like a good Christian.
What's wrong with you guys? I got mine. Mine's all fine. I know. It's perfect. What's the deal?
It's such like,
jeez,
to maybe encourage you or keep you from discouragement. Like, I think it's going to take a while. I still don't feel like I've arrived.
No, of course not.
Scott. Scott has, because he's influenced all of our lives.
I'm there.
In Fartville.
I mean, like I said, I at this point, I'm 8 months into what I would consider a new journey for me.
Yeah.
And now 8 months in, I feel like I am only scratching the surface, in that it will take a lifetime to make any headway in this new journey. So, but I'm glad I'm now in this position, because it is definitely more fulfilling than it has ever been. And again, it's got me asking, I think, the right questions at this point, and seeking the right answers, and starting to grasp what it means to be a Christian in a way that I've never grasped before. But it's this concept of self-sacrifice and delaying your own gratification in the interest of others. I mean, that's essentially what Jesus taught, right? Taking up your cross and following him, putting yourself last and making others first. It's something I knew academically. I knew that he said those words, but it's only now that I'm starting to realize that looks a lot different than me just living what I think or being what I think to be a good person, not harming others. It is more active than that. That's such a passive way of living, but that's kind of how I viewed Christianity up until this point, was just being a good person, very passively. But now I'm starting to realize that God's calling us to be a lot more active in that, and actually, you know, putting in the work, you know, putting ourselves to the side in the interest of building up others. And I'm starting to try and figure out what that means in my life, in practice, pragmatically. How am I going to start to change my life to make that a reality? I mean, that's where I'm at now with that.
Last question. Who's got a last question?
I just had one.
Do it.
What has, how do I say this? Do you feel like you're starting to really understand who God is now?
Mm.
And what is the difference? Like, what do you learn? Is this like a brand new person that you're beginning a relationship with, or yeah?
I think it is. So what I'm learning more than anything at this point is the true character of God that I'm starting to now see in the patterns that had been invisible to me to this point. God revealing his character in the patterns of the stories in the Old Testament, for example, and his desire to be with us, but our selfish desire to take what we think is right in our eyes, and then God's, you know, choosing a particular person or people to deliver people from chaos, for example. I'm starting to see that repeated pattern of his character. I'm starting to realize that that's who he truly is. And I'm starting to learn that. I'm very early on in that stage. I would not say I'm anywhere close to really understanding who he is, but it is definitely a different way of looking at him than I have in the past. And so I hope to continue along that journey for sure.